Okay, today is Daf Mem Vav. We're going to start in Mem Hey. Watch the Malas, she's missing. Okay, Dvora Batina, Oz Havram Shema Menchana, Karmipa Nimo, or Lipnina Barach Alfreda, Chayim Alkester Batzipora, Donia Bemrim Chayarut, Yosef Bemrachele, Barifka Rafal, Yoshua Falik Bemrachabatia, Yenta Miriam Bachana Rachel, Avram Ben Zohara, Yael Miriam Batchaya. And one more?
No.
Okay, I wanted to go back. I forgot one important thing I really wanted to talk about with the, we were rushing at the end. We talked yesterday about Ein Podinat Shvuyim Yeter Al Kedei Demeim, that you can't release captives. So there's all sorts of exceptions, okay? Even though generally we paskin that really the reason is, there were two reasons given, right? One of them is that it shouldn't be a Tircha Ditzibura, of having to make them pay the money, and the other is that we shouldn't encourage them to take more captives. Really, we hold that the issue is we shouldn't encourage them to take more captives. However, there's certain situations where there's exceptions made. So one is that to redeem yourself, there's no concern. In other words, you're allowed to redeem yourself. And then they say, once we're talking about yourself, you're allowed to redeem, well, ishto kegufo, and therefore for your wife, you're also allowed to. The other exception that they make, and this goes back to the Maharam Yerenberg story, even though he said no, but when it comes to a Talmid Chacham, also they make exceptions. And there's certain times, and if you put them both, they're really in the same category, because what's the issue? The issue is chashivut, okay? And that because this person is very important, either subjectively very important to you, or, which could be yourself, or your wife, or your husband, in our case, all women, and the other option is a Talmid Chacham might have a certain amount of chashivut, and that overrides the other issue. There's a conflicting interest. The other issue, there was something else that just left my mind. There's another possibility that if the person's in grave danger, if we know that they're in sakanat chayim, that also that might override. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's a bit of a debate about it. Okay. What?
We learned that in Ketubah.
Yeah, we did. We talked about it in Ketubah. Okay, so then we were at the Mishnah, Mem Hamad Aleph, at the very bottom, about the Lokhim Sifreim Tvilinu Mezazov from the Avdei Kochavim, Mipnei Tikkun Olam. Okay, then we saw that, that means Yeter Akadei Demeim, you can't, but for the actual price, you can. And then we can infer from here, the Gemara said, that if you find a Sefer Torah, Yidei Akum, you're allowed to read it. Right? And then they say, no, you can't necessarily infer that because maybe you have to be gonez the Sefer Torah. And from there, we got into this issue, and this we're going to see today, about Rav Nachman, who says we have a masoret that teaches us that if a Sefer Torah, okay, we'll start from here, the fifth line, Sefer Torah shektavo min yisaref, katvo bekochavim yiganez, but nimtzavi amin yiganez, nimtzavi yorov bekochavim, amrila yiganez, va'amrila korimba. Okay, there's a korimbo. There's a machloket about, if it's, again, there's a difference between an early Christian, the mean, okay, a heretic, or a non-Jew, okay, who's not necessarily a heretic. Okay, so there was a concern about if Dafka, a mean, wrote it, then for sure we have to burn it. But if we find it in the hands of a mean, it's not necessarily clear that he wrote it or not, but we still have to put it in the Geniza. Whereas if it's written by an Ovei Kochavim, then it only goes in the Geniza, because it's not as problematic as one written by a heretic. However, if we find it in the hands of an Ovei Kochavim, there's a machloket, because it could be it was written by a Jew, right? That's what Tosfot said. Chances are it was written by a Jew, and that's why you can read from it. Rashi said, no, it's a sveik sveika, right? Maybe it was written by a Jew, or maybe it was written by the Ovei Kochavim, but he wrote it lishma. And therefore it's okay. And from here we said, a Sefer Torah that a non-Jew writes sounds like it's okay. And that's what we're going to get into now, a three-way machloket about how we view a Sefer Torah that's written by a non-Jew. Sefer Torah Ktavo Ovei Kochavim. Three-way machloket. Tane Chada, okay, there are three brightot. One says, Yisaref, has to be burned. V'tanya Idach, Yiganez, we have to put it in the Geniza. V'tanya Idach, Korimbo, you can actually read from it. So now the Gemara says, Lo Kasha. It's not, obviously, right, it's not that they contradict each other, it's that there are three different opinions and they match three different Tana Idach opinions that we know of. And now we're going to chart, okay, you can look at in the chart. Each one matches a different Tanaitic opinion. Haditanya Yisaref, Rabbi, actually I don't remember if it's Eliezer, Rabbi Elazar, what do you have there?
Eliezer.
Rabbi Eliezer. De'amar, stam machshevet ovei kochavim, lavodat kochavim. You have to assume that if an ovei kochavim is writing a sefer Torah, stam, his dat must be to do it lavodat kochavim, in which case, it's going to be, right, it's going to be forbidden, and yisaref. V'hadetanya yiganez, what about the one who says yiganez? Haitana hu detana rav amnuna bere de rav ami pashronia, sefer Torah tfilin umezuzot, shektavan, mean umasur. Now, why is mean in parentheses here? Right, it means take it out or maybe leave it in. What's the issue? Probably the censor. Right, there was a censor on the Gemara, you know, so the other people would read it and say, right, the Christians, they were scared of what they were going to see. So it seems like you really should be reading this. A mean or a masur, that's a malshin. Right, la malshinim al titikbar, right, the people who handed them over to the authorities. In oved kochavim, in eved, isha, Katan v'kuti v'Yisrael mumar psulin. Okay, Yisrael mumar again is a Jew who stopped keeping mitzvot. Any of those people who wrote a sefer Torah, it's pasul. Shenemar ukshartem uchtavtam. Right, we know that from the pasuk in Shema. Ukshartem comes right next to the pasuk of uchtavtam. Kol sheyeshno bikshira, yeshno biktiva. Whoever is involved in the mitzvah of tefillin, who's chayav in the mitzvah of tefillin, is also chayav in the mitzvah of ktiva. And anyone who doesn't have the mitzvah upon him of tefillin can't write a sefer Torah. So according to him, these people are pasul for writing a sefer Torah. It doesn't mean you have to burn the sefer Torah. It doesn't mean he wrote it l'shem avodah kochavim, but it can't be used. So therefore, we put it in the Keniza.
Woman can't be sofer.
Right. That's why when people write a sefer Torah, generally a woman doesn't, right? Women don't write a letter.
There is some way of finding an opening.
There is some way, yeah. What's
that is accepted by some, I don't remember, but there was an article recently. There are women that are writing sefrei.
Uh-huh.
They're writing Megillot for sure about sefrei Torah. There's a problem, but they're finding some way of...
Interesting. I don't know enough about it. It's an interesting topic to look into. Yeah. So if it's written l'shem avodah kochavim, in other words, that's their idea. If it's written for Christianity, right, the Old Testament, you know, and they write it for their purposes, so then it's considered. It doesn't. It's written for the wrong kavanah. Yeah, that's serious. In other words, you have to remember also the conflict between them and the Christians in early Christianity. It was. Right, it was great,
right.
And they felt this
Jews,
is...
They were Jews who were...
Exactly, who had gone off, and... Right, yeah. Right. I mean, you could see it in the historical context of how serious they viewed this. It was a huge threat to them, and it was a huge slap in the face, and, you know, it was taking our texts and using them for creating a new religion. So because of that, that's serious. We're going to burn it. Okay? So, you know, they don't view it as Shem Hashem. They view it as, you know, they're calling it some other god. It's almost like writing Elohim Achirim, right? We can't say Elohim unless we say it, you know, Elohim Achirim. Then it's not the same god. So they view it, I assume that's how they view it, it's like another god. Okay. V'hadetanya korimbo. What about the one who says korimbo? Haitana hu detanya. It goes like this, a Tanaitic opinion, where we see in a Braita it says, Lokhim sfarim min ovdei kochavim. Lokhim means we can buy. We can buy sifrei Torah from the ovdei kochavim. Bechol makom. Ubevad shiyu ktuvin kilchatan. As long as they were written, lefi alacha. Umaase beovdei kochavim echa betzaydan. Shaya kotev sfarim. Vihitir rashbag likach mimenu. Okay, there was a guy, that was his job, he was a sofer, he would write Sifrei Torah, a non-Jewish guy, and he would sell them to the Jews. And Rashbag said, no problem, you can buy from him. So now they're going to ask on Rashbag, and Shim ben Gamliel, Ibud l'shman ba'ei, Ktiva l'shman lo ba'ei? I don't understand. Rashbag, you insisted that even the cloth has to be me'ubad, processed, lishma, from the very beginning, right? The whole process has to be lishma. So how could you not require ktiva lishma, the assumption being a non-Jew can't do ktiva lishma. How do we know that Rashbag needs ibud lishma? Detanya tzipan zahav osha talalein or behemat me'ah psulot or behemat tohorak sherot v'af al pi shelo ibdan lishman. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer afilu or behemat tohorak psulot ad shi abdan lishman. Okay, so there's a whole issue about is a behema Torah. You need to have a behema Torah, right? And then if it's covered with zahav, okay. So then Rashbag says even if you use or behema Torah, it's still not good unless you do the ibud lishma. In other words, the whole process needs to be done lishma. So how does Rashbag say that we can buy from this Obey Kochavim, who obviously can't do lishma? In other words, maybe he can do it for our purposes, but that's not a halachic lishma. So Amar Rabba Bar Shmuel, Beger Shechazar L'Suro. What's he talking about? He's talking about a ger that went back to his ways. In other words, he converted to Judaism. So he was an Obey Kochavim, this guy who they bought the Sfarim from. He was an Obey Kochavim who converted. After he converted, so he became a Jew, and then he decided to go back to being a non-Jew. Now, halachically, you can't. Technically you can, but halachically, you're still a Jew. So we're talking about he was called a non-Jew because he practiced non-Judaism, and he originally was a non-Jew, but he was actually, technically speaking, he was a Jew, and that's why he was allowed to buy from him, because then you can have the issue of Lishma, because he really was a Jew. So then they say, what do you mean? L'suro koshken to havele min. But how could you, if he went back to being a non-Jew, that's a heretic. In other words, he was a Jew. And then he left the derech. That sounds like a min, or maybe you would call him more likely a mumar. Okay, so how could you allow it? So Amar Rav Ashi, shechozer l'suro mishum yir'ah. He was someone who did it because he was scared of what they were going to do to him, that they were going to kill him for being a Jew. So in other words, he really was a practicing Jew at heart. He just, you know, on the face of things, he was an Ovei Kochavim. And that's why they called him an Ovei Kochavim, but really
Who was writing Sefer Torah, right,
for Jews to sell. Okay, so again, these are questions that, you know, they're difficult, okay? The answers are difficult. The questions are obviously better questions than the answers. Tana Rabbanan, Ma'alim b'dmehen ad kidei trafik. Okay, what's traffic? My traffic. Okay, what does this mean? First of all, it means, right, what does it say? You can't buy it yeter al kadei de mehem, right, for much more than they're worth. But if they're, you know, sold at their worth, or even a little bit above their worth, how much above their worth? A traffic. My traffic. What does that mean? It's a kind of a, you know, amount of money. How much is that? Amar shesha istira. It's an istira. Okay, that's a coin. That's a sela hamedina. Okay, Rashi says it's a shminit of a sela hasuri. Okay, which is a half a dinar. Okay, a half a dinar, right? We've seen dinarim. It's, you know, not a lot of money. Not a little bit, but also not a lot. Hahitayata da'aite chayata d'tfile l'kame d'abaye. Okay, there was a Yishmaeli guy who had this bag full of tefillin. Okay? And he brought it in front of Abaye. Amar la. What?
It's a woman.
It's a woman? What does it say?
An Arab woman.
Aha, an Arab woman. Okay, fine. An Arab woman who brought, right, that's why it's Tayata instead of Taya. Okay, the tuf shows it's a female. So she brought a bag of tefillin in front of Abaye. Amar la, yahaveit le resh resh bitmare. Okay, he says, give me each zug, okay, of a Rosh and Yad, for a tamar, for a date. Imlaya zihara, she gets really angry that he was offering her a date for the Sifrei Torah. Shakla shadatinu binahara, she throws it into the nahar. Amar, Rabbi says, lohi baile lezilzulinhu ba'apa kuleha. I shouldn't have made it look like, right, what he did was really the opposite of the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah says you can't spend too much money on them. What Abai says is fine, so let me offer her nothing. In offering her nothing, she said, I can't believe that's what you're offering me, and she throws it into the river. Okay? Maybe she meant, you know, either she was so insulted by his comment, or maybe she just felt, oh, these aren't worth anything. I'll just throw them out. It's not even worth selling.
Or maybe he did it intentionally to make sure they would be destroyed completely and not...
No, he's obviously upset, though, because he says, I shouldn't have been mizalzel so much. So what we're showing here is there's a bit of a balance. So you don't want to show them that they're worthless or insult them to their face that you're only willing to give them a certain amount. Right? This is like a bargaining tactic, right? When you go to a shuk and you try to buy something, if you offer too low a price, you know, they're going to laugh you out the door. If you, you know, too high a price, well, you're the friar, so you have to... Right. So you're right, they'll laugh after you leave. So you have to, you know, it's a balance between figuring out and what you're What you're really seeing here is the relationship with them and the non-Jews. This is a very interesting sugya. Again, we don't have time to get into it. All about the relationship between them and the early Christians and them and the non-Jews and the fear and the, you know, the relationship between them. And here, the, you know, throwing it into the river, all this tefillin. And anyway, there's lots to think about here. Okay, new Mishnah. Hamotziat ishto mishum shemra. Lo yachzir. Now we're moving on to a new takana. If you divorce your wife because you have you heard rumors about her that she was sleeping around with someone, lo yachzir. You can, now we learned many times that unless you're a kohen, you're allowed to be machzir gushato. You can divorce your wife and then remarry her, right? As long as she wasn't with someone else in between. Okay. So now, if you divorce her because you're suspicious that she was sleeping around, you're not allowed to bring her back. Mishum neder lo yachzir. Another reason is if you say that your wife was taking nedarim unnecessarily and you were very angry with her for taking these nedarim, you're also not allowed to bring her back. We're going to see there's two basic reasons for this takana. One is that we're worried that, one is that it's a knas for the woman because she was a Putsa, okay, you know, even if she didn't actually sleep around, she obviously was hanging out with other men and raising suspicions about her behavior, and therefore it's a knas against her for either that or for being a nadranit, you know, a woman who just makes lots of vows, which is not considered a good thing. And we're going to see later on that we're not worried about men doing this, we're only worried about women. And part of the issue comes up in the sources, not in the Gemara itself, but the Mefarshim talk about, because women are da'atan kalot, their you know, knowledge is not so strong, you know, that they often just make nidarim unnecessarily, and therefore there's more of a concern about a woman being a nadranit than a man, and that's why this takana was instituted for women. Okay? So women, so that they shouldn't be prutzot, or they shouldn't be nadraniot. So we say, if a man divorces you for that reason, he's not allowed to bring you back, and this is your fault, your problem. You shouldn't ever get yourself into that situation, and therefore, let's prevent it in the first place. Don't do it in the first place, because if you do it, it will cause your husband to divorce you, and you'll be stuck, and you'll never be able to get remarried to him.
But it's interesting that this follows Sota, because he shouldn't have divorced her because of rumors. He could have...
You're saying, right,
on the first
foothills place of Sota, that really he shouldn't divorce her because he heard rumors. He should go through the whole Sota process, yeah.
Right.
But if he were to divorce her because of that and doesn't want... You know, remember, we weren't sure how many people actually would go through with the whole Sota process. It's almost easier just to divorce your wife than to...
Right.
Go through that whole...
And they didn't force anyone. Is also
right, they didn't force anyone. Only if he came forward would he do that. Yes. Okay, so that's one option. The other option is that we're worried about kilkula. What's kilkula? That will mess things up down the road. What will be the mess up down the road? Let's say he divorces her because she's sleeping around, and it turns out she wasn't, and he finds out she wasn't, he'll say... Oh, I never would have divorced you had I known that the rumors weren't true. In which case, what's going to happen? She might already at that point be married. She might have children. And at that point, he says, oh, I never really meant to divorce you. Then the divorce is dissolved. She turns out to be an Eshet Ish who slept with someone else. You know, now she's a sor labal, and her kid's a mom's there. So we don't want to get into that situation. So therefore, we don't allow him to ever remarry her. So he knows if he can't remarry her, now you have to do this jump in this interpretation, if he knows he'll never remarry her, well, then he won't cancel the get because he knows he can never be back together with her. So what's the point of canceling the get if he knows he can never be back with her?
He can cancel a get?
Well, he could say the get was b'ta'ut, right? I never, just like you could do a mekach ta'ut in a marriage, you could do a mekach ta'ut in a divorce and say. Now, we're going to see later on, maybe it depends, you know, that it's not so clear-cut that you happen to divorce your wife for a particular reason. Then you say, oh, well, the reason's not here. It has to be that you said so when you divorced her, I'm divorcing you because of this. And if it's not the case, you know, according to one interpretation, we're going to see you need it tonight kapul, you need it to go in both directions. It's not enough to just say, I'm divorcing you because of this. It's saying, I'm divorcing you because of this. And if it's not true, then we're not divorced. You know, it's not so clear and pashut. Okay? And also, just because we prevent him from remarrying her doesn't necessarily mean that he could still cancel the get. Right? In other words, he could say, oh my God, I didn't know it wasn't true. I can't believe it's not true. I never would have divorced you. And we still could have a problem. It's just he can't remarry her. But in theory, he could still mess her up with the other husband. But and with the neder, it's the same issue. Maybe he doesn't know that he could be Matir the Neder. When he finds out, oh, had I known I could have been Matir the Neder, either me, myself, or we're going to see maybe in the Beit Din, you know, the Chacham could have done it. Had I known, I never would have divorced you because you made this Neder. You know, I would have canceled it.
They never consider that Tokala love for a man.
Right, so they don't. That's what I said. They don't consider that. Okay, well, you'll see. It comes up in the Mishnah even. Okay. So now we're going to have a machloket about in this Mishnah. Okay, you can look at the chart also on the page, the second chart on the page. There's four opinions. So Tanakama we saw. If you're motzi mishum shemra, mishum neder, lo yachzir. Rabbi Yehuda omer, kol neder sheyad'u bo rabim, lo yachzir. V'shelo yad'u bo rabim, yachzir. It's only if she makes a public neder. If she makes a private neder, nobody else knew about it, well then, that's not what we're referring to. Now the assumption, the underlying assumption of Rabbi Yehuda, you can see the Ta'am in the second part of the chart, is that his opinion is it's a knas for a woman who's a prutza and a nadranit. Because when we're talking about a nadranit, we're talking about a nadranit who does it in public, who, you know, swears off many things in public. Okay, and that's why he says public versus private. Rabbi Meir omer, kol neder shetzarich chakirat chacham lo yachzir, v'she'eno tzarich chakirat chacham yachzir. If it needs the chacham to look into it, to matir the neder, then that's the kind that lo yachzir. But if it doesn't need a chakirat chacham yachzir. Now, why is this? So now you have to say a few things. You have to say, number one, according to Rabbi Meir, everybody knows that a husband can be made for his wife's neder. And that's not the issue that maybe he'll find out later on. The assumption is, according to Rabbi Meir, he knows that already. So therefore, if it's something that ain't tzarich chakirat chacham and he could do it himself, well then yachzir, because we're not worried later down the road he's going to say, oh, had I known, you know, of course you knew right from the beginning, so we're not concerned for that. If it's tzarich chakirat chacham, then you have to say that, if you look in the chart, I wrote it out. Number one, you can say, right, everyone knows that you can do mefer nidre ishto, but not everyone knows that you can go to the Beit Din. And then you'd have to say, that we saw this machloket in the past, that he holds that Adam rotzeh shetitbazeh ishto bebeitin. What does that mean? It's really more the opposite. The other opinion, there's one opinion that holds that a husband would never allow his wife to go and embarrass herself in a beitin and say, I want, you know, I took this neder and I shouldn't have made it. And he thinks that's like a big busha for him and he would never let his wife do that. But the other opinion says, no, a man's not concerned for that. He'd let his wife go to a beitin to get rid of her neder. So according to Rabbi Meir, the assumption is he would let his wife go to Beit Din if she had a neder, but he doesn't necessarily know that she can go to Beit Din to do it. So when he finds out later on that she could, then he'll say, oh, had I known, I never would have divorced her for this reason. So that's Rabbi Meir.
But also we learned that it's different type than Nedarim. Like, he can only be made for a neder that impacts their marriage.
Right.
Whereas the ones for Chachamim are going to...
That's true also. So that's true. Right. But if it doesn't need a Chakirat Chacham, then there's, even if he can't matir it, there's no one else can matir it either. He can't matir it, and the Chacham can't matir it. So if no one else can matir it, then there's no concern that he'll find out later that someone could have matired it.
Right.
Okay? So
it also makes sense based on what he can and can't do regarding the types of oaths that she makes.
Right. Right, so in other words, if it's an oath that he could have gotten rid of, we assume he knows he could have gotten rid of it, and therefore he can't divorce her based on that. What?
He had to have known because it impacted their relationship, because those are the only nidarim he can actually be made for.
Right, so if he, the assumption is that kind of a neder, he knows about. And if he wasn't made for the neder, he can't claim later on, oh, had I known, I would have been made for, because the assumption is he knew he could have been made for. Now we're going to see Rabbi Elazar doesn't think that that's the case. Okay, Amar Rabbi Elazar, lo asru zeh ela mipnei zeh. Okay, very clear. Okay, what does this mean? Lo asru zeh means the opposite. Dafka she'eno tzarich chakirat chacham. Okay, sorry, it's the opposite. Start with the neder she'tzarich chakirat chacham. The Rabbi Meir says lo yachzir. That's the key case. He says no. That case really, there's no reason to forbid at all lachzir. But they forbade him to be machzir in that case because of the next case. Okay? Meaning the eino tzarich chakirat chacham. Now why? Because he holds the two opposite things of Rabbi Meir. He holds, number one, okay, you can't assume that everybody knows they can be made for their wife's nedarim. That's number one. And therefore, And number two, Ein Adam Rotzeh Shetitpazeh Ishto BeBeitin. So therefore, which is the real case that needs it? If it's not, if it doesn't need a chakirat chacham, meaning the husband himself can be made for the neder, the husband himself can be made for the neder, that's dafka the one we're concerned about, that later on he'll say, had I known, I wouldn't, I would have been made for the neder. But if when it needs to go to the Beit Din to be made for the neder, well, a man would never allow his wife to go embarrass herself in the court and be made for the neder. So in that case, there's no reason for concern that he's going to say, oh, had I known, I would have sent her to the court to do it, because he wouldn't have sent her to the court. So now what does he claim, though? Both of cases lo yachzir, but why? One because of the other. In other words, the real case that lo yachzir is when it doesn't need a chakirat chacham, when he could do it himself, and the assumption is he didn't know that before, and maybe further down the road, he'll find that out. And since that case they forbade, they also forbade any case of nidarim. Okay, that's his claim. Next opinion. Now this isn't another opinion, this is a separate case. Now we're going to get to the man's neder. And we're going to see this is a very unclear line in the Mishnah. We're only going to understand it when we get to the Gemara. Am Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, Ma'asevet Saidan, Be'echad Shamar Lishto, Konam Im Eini Megarshech. Okay, this is forbidden to me if I don't divorce you. Vigersha, and then he divorced her. V'itiru lo chachamim sheyachzirena, and the chachamim allowed him to remarry her. Mipnei tikkun ha'olam. What the tikkun olam here is very unclear. We're going to see in the Gemara how they try to interpret it. So we'll leave it right now. What?
The fact that it was Sidon is just not
just coincidental that we just had a case there and we have another one? That's what you're saying?
No.
What?
I don't know.
That just happened to be. That's where the case was. Okay. Amar Rav Yosef Bar Minyumi, Amar Rav Nachman. So now we're going to start explaining the cases in the Mishnah. V'hu sha'amar la mishum shemra ani motzi'ech. Mishum neder ani motzi'ech. It has to be that when he divorced her, he said, I'm divorcing you because of the rumors about you, right? It's not enough that he gives her a get, and then later he says, oh, by the way, I gave her a get because of this, and now this turns out not to be true. That wouldn't work. It has to be that at the time of giving the get, he said, it's because of this that I'm divorcing you. So now we're going to say, Kasavar Tama, must be his reason is, my Mishum Kilkula, it must be because we're worried about the Kilkul, because we're worried that later on he will come and say, well, yeah, I divorced you for this reason, but right now it turns out it wasn't true, and because of that he wants to go back. I'amar lahachi matzi makalkala, v'ilo lo matzi makalkala, right? But if he never said it, well then there's absolutely no way he could be makalkala, because if he never said it, then he can't go back and say, well, that's the reason I divorced you, if he never said that was the reason, right? There's no way to undo the divorce unless he were to have said that. So clearly the issue is, according to Rav Nachman, kilkula. Because if the issue is just that we want to prevent a woman from being a nadranit and a prutza, then it wouldn't matter whether he said it at the time of the divorce or he didn't say it. You follow? It's only if we're worried he's going to undo his divorce. Only in the case of the reason of the kilkula are we worried he's going to undo the divorce. And that's why it has to be said. That was one version of this, Rav Yosef Bar Minyumi, in the name of Rav Nachman. Now we have a different version. Ika da'amrei, I'm Rav Yosef Bar Minyumi, I'm Rav Nachman. Tzarich sheyomar la, he has to say to her, Heve yoda'at, you should know, shemishum shemra ani motzi'ech, umishum neder ani motzi'ech. Now if he says, right, instead of saying, I'm divorcing you because of a neder, or I'm divorcing you because of this, he says, I want you to know that I'm divorcing you because of this. Now if he says that, what's obviously the reason? Kasavar tam amai, kedei shelo yu b'no Yisrael prutzot barayot u'b'nedarim. Right, hilkach tzarich lemeimer lahachi. Okay, he wants to set an example for women that they learn not to be like this. So therefore, he says to her, "I want you to know that this is why I'm divorcing you." Why is to say, "I want you to know"? It's important that you know. It's important that you know so that you learn your lesson and you don't act in a promiscuous way. Okay, so now we're going to have a braita that supports each reason. Tanya Kalishna Kama, Vatanya Kalishna Batra. There's a braita that supports the first reading, and there's a braita that supports the second reading. Tanya Kalishna Kama, Amar Rabbi Meir, Mipnei Ma Amru HaMotziyat Yishto Mishum Shemra Lo Yachzir. Why did they say that if you're Motzi Shemra, you divorce your wife because of a Shemra, or Bishum Neder Lo Yachzir? Shema Teilech V'tinase La'achir, here we have it explicitly, she'll go marry someone else. V'nimtzu'u Dvarim Bada'in, turns out what he said wasn't true, right, that he could be made for the Neder, or she wasn't really sleeping around with anyone. V'yomar, Ilu Hayiti Yodeh Shekenhu, Afilu imayunot nimli me'amana, even if they would pay me all the money in the world, lo hayiti megarsha. Right? I never would have divorced her. V'nimtza get batelu baneha mamzerim. Okay? Lefichach, now here's this added line they add. Lefichach omrim lo, therefore they say to him, heve yodea shamotzi et ishto mishum shemra lo yachzir, mishum neder lo yachzir. Therefore they say to him, when he goes to divorce her, they say, right, he goes to, let's say, the Beit Din to divorce his wife, and they say to him, we want you to know that if you do this, there's no turning back. And that's to prevent him, really, from undoing the get. Okay? They want him to be sure now. Because what did we say? Even if he can't remarry her, he still could undo the get. So I think they add this line to sort of ensure that he knows for sure he wants to give the get now so that there won't be any undoing of it down the road, whether or not he wants to remarry her. Right? Okay. So that's support of the first opinion, that's kokula. Now Tani Kalishna Batra. Now we have a braita like the second lashon. Amar Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Yossi. Mipnei ma amru hamotzi et ishto mishum shema lo yachzir, mishum neder lo yachzir. Shelo yu benot Yisrael prutzot ba'arayot ubenedarim. And so they shouldn't be promiscuous. Lefichach omrim lo. Therefore they tell him, and more la, tell her, right now it's not important that he make this statement. Now it's important that he speak to his wife directly. And he tells her, heve yodach mishum ra'ani motziach, mishum neder ani motziach. Now you have to assume that here the lesson he's trying to teach is number one to her for her future relationships, but also to make a statement for all women, really, that other women shouldn't act this way, and then, you know, their husbands will end up divorcing them for this reason. Okay, now we're going to get into the difference between Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir. Okay, we're going to get into these different opinions and what the logic is. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol neder sheyadu ba rabim, lo yachzir. V'shelo yadu ba rabim, yachzir. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, my tamad to Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? Where does he get this from? About this public neder, this issue of a public neder. In other words, we're not asking what's his reason. We know his reason is that it's a knas for the woman who's prutzah. But where does he get it from that this kind of, that there's a difference between a neder sheyesh bo rabim, a neder sheyadu bo rabim, and a neder shelo yadu bo rabim? Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, my tamad to Rabbi Yehuda, dechtiv v'lo hikum b'nei Yisrael ki nishbu'u lahem. Okay, who remembers this from the Nevi'im? The Givonim. You remember the Givonim? They pretended that they had their moldy bread and their old clothes, and they pretended they came from far away and they weren't part of the Sheva'am. I mean, and then they had sworn to them, Nisiei Dad sworn to them, that we won't kill you. And then it turns out they had lied, right? And they really were from the Sheva'amim, and they couldn't kill them. And here it says they didn't kill them because they had sworn to them. Now, by the way, here you see, we've seen this before in Nedarim, the Neder and Shvu are interchangeable, right? Because a Shvu, you can't be Mefer. But here they're talking about a Neder, but they're calling it, in the Lashon of the Torah, of the Navi, it's a Shvua. So what is we see? That they took this Shvua in public. How do we know it's in public? Because it says, Nisiei Ha'edah. Edah is always public, right? So now, that's the source for minyan. It comes from the word ha'edah, okay? Balu mitoch ha'edah, from Korach, and then they learn from the Meraglim. So now what do they say? So therefore, he says, look, they couldn't take back their shvua. So here you see a neder, shiyadu bo rabim, there's no going back. The Rabbanan, what does Rabbanan say about this? Who thinks that you can go back? What do they say? Hatam mi chala shvua ilavehu klal. Is the shvua chal at all in this case? It's not at all. How do we know there's no real shvua here? Because kevan da amar lehu me'eretz rechoka banu v'lo ba'u lo chay la shvua ilavayhu klal. They lied. It was a shvua taken on a false premise. Really, the Givonim, there was no shvua with the Givonim because they had lied. So we took a shvua based on the fact that we thought they came from a far place and they really hadn't. So there's really no shvua at all. So why did they keep to it? Okay, it was a kiddush Hashem. In other words, yes, halachically speaking, there was no neder, okay, or shvua. But they said, well, the people are going to look at us poorly if we go back on our word. So therefore, we're going to do a kiddush Hashem, and we're going to keep to our word, even though technically speaking, there's really no reason. So therefore, chachamim say you can't learn from here anything. Now we get to v'kama rabim. What is rabim? Rav Nachman amar shlosha. Rabbi Yitzchak amar asara. How do we get shlosha asara? Rav Nachman amar shlosha, yamim shnayim, rabim shlosha. We get it from the isha zava. Isha ki tazuv zov dama yamim rabim. What is yamim rabim? Yamim is plural. Rabim is three. So they learn from here that rabim is three. Okay? Because they say yamim rabim. Yamim is already two. So what does rabim add? Rabim adds three. So therefore, when we talk about yad'ubo rabim, what do we mean by rabim? Rabim is three. Rabbi Yitzchak says asara, dechtiv eida, his eida is asara, and therefore it's asara. Rabbi Meir omer, kol neder shetzarich v'chulei. Tanya, Rabbi Elazar omer, lo asru tzarich, elam ipnei she'eino tzarich. So now they say, this is a little bit more words than ours, right? Our Mishnah said, lo asru ze elam ipnei ze. Here there's a version of Rabbi Elazar that says, lo asru tzarich, meaning tzarich hakirat chacham, elam ipnei she'eino tzarich. Okay, so now they're going to say, b'mai kamipal, okay? What's the machloka between them? Rabbi Meir savar, adam rotzeh shetitbazeh shtob beitin. Rabbi Lazar savar, ein adam rotzeh shetitbazeh shtob beitin. That's what we already explained, right? And therefore, the chakirat chacham is not going to be an issue for Rabbi Lazar because we don't think that he's going to actually bring his wife to beitin ever. And it's definitely going to be the issue, according to Rabbi Meir, because he does think his husband might bring the wife. And again, Rabbi Meir holds that we're not concerned about himself because we know that every man knows he can be made for his wife's nedarim. Whereas Rabbi Elazar also disagrees with that. I'm Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, Ma'asebet Saidan. So now we're going to explain what happened in Saidan and what was the situation here and what's the tikkun olam, and a lot of things are unclear. My Tana de Katani Maaseh. And what's the point of the Tana that he brought this Maaseh? Like, where does it come from? It's not connected to anything almost, and what's it doing here? So now they say, Chisuri Machasra Bahachi Katani. There's a whole bunch of words missing here. And this is really what it means to say. Bamed Varim Amarim, all this is Kishanadra Hi. Only when the woman takes the neder. That's when we're worried about the woman being a prutsa. Aval Nadar Ihu Yachzir. But if he himself takes the neder, then he's allowed to take his wife back. Va'amar Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda, ma'aseh nami b'tzaydan. And then Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda brings the ma'aseh to prove the point that there's no issue when it comes to a man taking a neder. How do we know? Ma'aseh b'tzaydan ba'achad shamar lishto, konam in emi migarshech v'igarsha, v'itiru lo chachamim shachzirenu m'pnei tikkun olam. So now we have some more questions about this. My konam, what does it mean, konam? Right, when he says konam imeini migarshech, what does konam mean? Konam is another word for a korban, and it means this should be upon me like a korban if I whatever. But he doesn't say in this sentence konam something, right? And that you're missing the subject. What is going to be forbidden to him? So I'm Rav Huna. Now it meant be'omer yasru kol peirot shebaolam alayim eini migarshech. It's missing the line about the fruits. Okay, it meant if he says, for example, all fruits of the world should be forbidden to me if I don't divorce my wife. V'tirulo sheyachzirena. So now they say, right, now we have to explain this. Pshita, what do you mean? It's obvious that he can bring her back. Whoever said that, you know, we wouldn't be allowed to. So they say, no. Ma'u detema ligzer mishum de Rabbi Natan. Remember, the kilkula is not an issue for him, right? And the None of the issues that we discussed about lo yu nashim prutzot bariyot would be relevant. So why would you even think it would be an issue? So they say, you might have thought ligzor mishum de Rabbi Natan. You'll remember Rabbi Natan as soon as we read him. Titanya Rabbi Natan omer, hanoder ki ilu bana bama, v'ama kaimo ki ilu ikriva lea korban. You might have thought that they instituted knas because they didn't want people to take nedarim, not men, not women, right? That men, it's a bad thing for a man to take a neder also. And that was this whole, right, there was a whole machloket about it. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Is it a neutral thing? Okay? Or is it bad only if you don't do it? Here this is saying, even if you keep to your neder, it's a bad thing. So maybe we would have instituted this knas upon him. Kamashlan, that we don't. Okay? That we don't institute this knas upon him for that. So now they say, okay, well, there's still one thing that's unclear. So we understand that he took a konam about payroll. We understand that we don't have to make a gzera because he's a man and we're not worried about, you know, general, that we want to prevent men from taking nidar. But what's this phrase, mipnei tikkun olam? My tikkun olam, Ika. There is no tikkun olam here. What's the tikkun olam? Am Rav Sheshet, Aresha. The tikkun olam here has nothing to do with this case, okay? How do you read the Mishnah? There was this Ma'aseh B'Saidan, and they allowed him, Yitiru lo sheyachzirena. And now, if you go back, if you notice, this whole thing about motzi yishto mishum shema lo yachzir, mishum neda lo yachzir, it never says the words mipnei tikkun olam. So they're saying it's just misplaced. It really belongs in the reisha. Mipnei tikkun olam is like a sikkun maybe of the whole Mishnah. You know, the issue here is because of tikkun olam, but referring to the earlier part. Ravina Amar, now that doesn't make any sense to say that because that's not where it's placed. La olam aseifa, it's really referring to the seifa. V'hachi katane. Aim bizo mipnei tikkun olam. Okay, there's a mistake in the text. It's not mipnei tikkun olam. It's aim bizo mipnei tikkun olam. There's no issue of tikkun olam in this case, and therefore we allow him to be machzir grushato in this case. And therefore, it just means the opposite of what we thought it meant. Okay, now we're getting on to a new case in the Mishnah, and we're going to immediately say in the Gemara that there's a contradiction, okay, you can already see from the sheet, I organized it, between Rabbi Yehuda and the previous Mishnah and Rabbi Yehuda in this Mishnah. So just to remind you, Rabbi Yehuda in the previous Mishnah said, we're not concerned with Kukula, we're concerned about the Knas Lisha, Shepurtza, Barayot, and Nidarim, right? So therefore, we're going to see immediately in this Mishnah that in this Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda is concerned for Kukula, and that's going to raise a question. Hamotziyat ishto mishum ailonit. Remember the ailonit? That's a woman who can't have children. So if he divorces his wife because she can't have children, then Rabbi Yehuda omer lo yachzir. The chachamim omerim yachzir. Rabbi Yehuda says he can't take her back. Why can't he take her back? Here, obviously, we're not concerned for nisha prutza b'arayot, right? It must be. What are we concerned? She'll go marry someone else. She'll have children with him. He'll say, oh my God, I didn't realize. It's really not an issue for her. Right? She wasn't an Ilonit, it turns out. Okay? And therefore, he'll cancel his divorce, and he'll want her back, and it'll turn out her kids will be mamzerim. But Chachamim say, no, there's no concern, yachzir. Niseit la'acher, okay, so now why do Chachamim say yachzir? Okay? So, I saw some interpretations that, first of all, one opinion was that men don't generally divorce their wives because they're iloniot. And therefore, it's not a mikresh achiach, and therefore we're not gozer for something that's not so common. In other words, men generally wouldn't divorce their wife just because she can't have children, and therefore we're not concerned, we don't make a gezerah for a case that's not shachiach. That was one reason. I think there was another one I saw. I don't remember it right now. Okay. Nisei l'acher, v'hayu la banim heimenu, v'hi tovat k'tubata. Let's say she marries someone else now, this Ilonit, and then she has children. Now what happens? If you remember, we learned that an Ilonit doesn't get her ketubah money. Okay? If he marries a woman who, it turns out she was an Ilonit, she doesn't get her ketubah money. So now, what does she say? She comes back and she says, hey, listen, I'm clearly not an Ilonit. It wasn't me who was causing the problems, and I want my ketubah money. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Omer la, he should say to her, Shtikutech yafeh midiburech. You should keep your mouth shut. Because if you start saying that I'm not an Ilonit, right, the husband can say, well, if you're not an Ilonit, well, then I shouldn't have divorced you in the first place. And if you start asking for money based on the fact that you're not an Ilonit, you're opening a petach for the husband to say, well, if you want me to pay you, why should I pay the ketubah money? Really, I never should have divorced you in the first place, in which case now she's going to be messed up. So he says, you're better off keeping your mouth shut. Now, this is a strange thing to say because Rabbi Yehuda himself says he can't actually remarry her, right? But, because, right, that was what he said, lo yachzir. So, therefore, we're not so concerned he'll cancel the get. But still, he says, be smart about it and be quiet because don't start up. In other words, yes, it's true, maybe you are deserving of the money, but again, once you say that, it's like you can't have your cake and eat it too, or you can't, what's the phrase, you can't play both sides, really. It's a little more than have your cake and eat it too. You're playing both sides, really. You're saying, right, that you got remarried and you got divorced because you were an Ilonit, but you're really not an Ilonit. And you want the divorce, though, to still stay good. So if you want the divorce to stay good, don't start asking for the ketubah based on the fact that you're now no longer an Ilonit. Because if you're no longer an Ilonit, then really your divorce was no good in the first place. And then, in which case, you're married still to your first husband. You've married, in the meantime, somebody else as an Eish Adish. And you've had children. You're banim or mamzerim. So he says, better off keeping quiet. Okay? So, also, you know, it could be, once he finds out she's not an Ilonit, he might not want to cancel the get. But when she starts asking him for money, he's going to say, I don't want to give you money. Like, why, you know, maybe I'll just cancel the get and then I won't have to give you the money. So, be smart about it, is what he's saying. So now, the Gemara immediately asks, L'meimer de Rabbi Yehuda chayish l'kukula, Rabbanan lo chayish l'kukula? Sounds like Rabbi Yehuda's choshesh for this kukul, and Rabbanan are not. And that's obviously, v'ha ibcha shaminan lehu. And we learned the exact opposite in the last Mishnah. Ditnan, ha-motziyat yisho mishum shemra lo yachzir, u-mishum neder lo yachzir. Rabbi Yehuda omer, kol neder sheyadu bo rabim lo yachzir, v'shelo yadu bo rabim yachzir. Alma, what is it implied from here? Rabbanan chayshe l'kilkula. Rabbi Yehuda lo chayshe l'kilkula. Because remember, he was only choshesh for kilkul. By the way, I didn't mention this, but some of the interpretations say, what's this neder shiyadubo rabim? And why is that the issue and not the other one? If your whole concern is this knas for nishash butzah barayot, it's a much stronger neder. In other words, we're not worried about a woman who takes small nedarim. But if she takes nedarim, she yadu bo rabin, that's already like a much stronger neder. Okay? This all goes back to the whole issue of a neder. If you can be made for a neder, what does it mean you can be made for a neder? Does it mean the neder wasn't really a neder in the first place? And therefore you can cancel it because it wasn't so strong? And that's why we had this whole thing. If it's yadu bo rabin, then maybe you can't be made for the neder. In other words, the stronger the neder is, the less likely we're going to be to let you be made for the neder. Right? If you took it in front of rabim, if you did it al dat rabim, remember all those? So it makes it a much stronger neder if it's done in a particular way. So also, we're more worried about an isha being prutza benadranut when she takes a real serious neder rather than a much smaller, less serious neder. So now, Amar Shmuel. So what does Shmuel say to resolve this contradiction? Ipuch. Just switch the shitot in our Mishnah. It's really, right, we got confused. It's Chachamim who say, we're chayish l'kakula, and therefore lo yachzir. And it's Rabbi Yehuda who says, yachzir. But then they say, wait a minute. V'hami dikatane seifa, nisei lacher v'yula banim emenu, v'yitavaktu batam, Rabbi Yehuda omer la, shtikutech efemi diburech. Here Rabbi Yehuda appears in the end saying, better off being quiet, because otherwise what will happen? He'll cancel the get. So Michlal, from here you can infer clearly, to Rabbi Yehuda chayish l'kakula. So what do they answer? Oh, hanami ipuch. Switch that opinion also. Okay? Okay, that's answer number one. We'll end today with answer number two. Abai amar la'olam lo tipuch. Rabbi Yehuda, bahi severla k'Rabbi Meir, severla k'Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, what does it mean? Rabbi Yehuda here holds like Rabbi Meir and like Rabbi Eliezer. Eliezer, how? B'tzarech severla k'Rabbi Eliezer. In a case where it needs a chakirat chacham, he holds like Rabbi Eliezer that what? That ein adam rotzeh shetitbazeh ishto bebeitin, right? And therefore, right, if it needs a chakirat chacham, then he holds like Rabbi Eliezer that tzarich ein adam rotzeh shetitbazeh ishto bebeitin, and v'she'eno tzarech sever lach k'Rabbi Meir. So then, he would hold if eino tzarich that everyone knows that you can be made for your wife's nedarim, and therefore. I forgot how this works.
Really, Rabbi Yehuda is choshesh l'kukula. Now, right, but in the original Mishnah, the first Mishnah we learned today, he's not choshesh l'kukula, particularly in that case, for two reasons. If it needs a chakirat chacham, then he thinks that by bitzarich, he holds like Rabbi Elazar. But nizah chakirat chacham, what will he say? And adam is bazeh ishto bebeitin. And if it doesn't need a chakirat chacham, he says, well, everyone knows that you can cancel your wife's nedarim. So therefore, either which way, he holds like both of them, and he doesn't think that there's ever a case where the husband will say later on, I'll end up finding out something I didn't know before. Okay, and that I would have done differently. He wouldn't have done anything differently because he never would have gone to the court with her, and he wouldn't have known anything otherwise because he knows the facts about himself. So therefore, in the original Mishnah, he doesn't think there's a chashash for kukul at all. So what must it be then? That's really what we end up saying according to this interpretation is Rabbi Yehuda holds the chashash l'kukul, but only in a case where there's a chashash l'kukul. In our case, with the Alonit, there is a chashash l'kukul. In that case, there wasn't. So what's his chashash? It's a knas for women. They won't be prutzot barayot. It's not that he doesn't think in general there's a chashash l'kukula. He just, in this case, thinks for all the various reasons of who he holds by about what, he doesn't think that there's a chashash l'kukul at all. And therefore, he gives a different reason. But the Karon, he does think there could be a chashash l'kukul in particular cases, like the Ilonit case. Okay, the Gemara is going to continue tomorrow. We'll start with there is, that resolved the contradiction between Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. What about Tanakama, Tanakama? Okay, Chachamim. And that is Chachamim. According to, if we ipuch, well, then we resolve everything. If we don't flip the shitot, then we have to explain each one. So we explain Rabbi Yehuda right now. Tomorrow we have to explain Chachamim.